What does it mean to bring our whole selves into the world? To give ourselves the gift of unconditional acceptance? Join me as we learn together. I'm Jorgen Salvis, and this is Unshaming. Hey Unshamers, this is Jordan. I first off just wanted to welcome all of the new listeners to Unshaming. Happy New Year. I've been working on this podcast for a while now, for a couple of years actually, and it is literally amazing to see it take off and to receive all of these incredible letters from all of you who are listening and telling me what you're unshaming. So please continue to send messages and letters. I love it so much. And it really has me thinking about failure. I've been working so hard on this podcast, and as I see it succeed, I can't help but look at the other areas of my life and notice that they're failing. My relationships and wellness in particular. Because I've been working so hard, I haven't really had the time to keep up with my friends and keep up with my exercise in the way that I usually love to. And if you're a little corny like me, you probably think of New Year's as a fresh start. And you're probably making your New Year's resolutions right now. And failure is actually very relevant to that because we need to examine it in order to create our new goals. But I don't think it's something we talk about enough. Many of us, myself included, are afraid to fail or afraid to admit that we failed, and even harder to admit is that we're currently failing at something right now. Failure in our careers, failure in our finances, failure in our relationships or marriages. But is failure really a bad thing? Or can failure teach us something about ourselves and what we need? I interviewed Jasper Soloff, a photographer and director based in LA. He shot for Billie Eilish and Noah Cyrus, among many others. He and his work have appeared in Vogue and GQ. By society's standards, he is very successful, but he's endured his fair share of failure as well. He left high school at the age of 16 to pursue ballet full-time, and he later gave it all up and quit just a few years later in what he considers to be one of his biggest failures. I was fascinated when he revealed that even though his photography career is exploding, he still feels like he's failing in other areas of his life. It made me think about the push and pull of success and failure, how when we succeed in one area, we inevitably fail in another. It made me think about how failure is something that we all experience. It made me ask myself, why are we so afraid to admit that we failed, both to others and to ourselves? This is the shame of failure.
I was a ballet dancer when I was in my teens. I started at 12, and then in high school, I decided that I really wanted to take this a step further and do it full time. So I actually dropped out of high school middle of junior year and was doing it from, you know, 9 to 9. And I think I was really excited by that, and just talking to my friends and having them be really excited about that venture. But it just wasn't really working out. My body was falling apart. And I just realized that although I was passionate about it, I wasn't passionate about the right aspects of it. Like, I was really excited by moving up in the ranks and kind of joining a bigger ballet company, like maybe doing San Francisco Ballet, but not so much the actual act of like dance anymore.
The prestige.
But, yeah, I've always been pretty competitive. So I think that's where a lot of it has stemmed from, like the prestige aspect and just like the eliteness of it and feeling kind of special by that, instead of, you know, the actual act of what I was doing. It turned into such a negative, weird, competitive situation for me, because that's very natural for me to get into. I officially quit ballet after I had to get surgery for a deviated septum, which obviously has nothing to do with really why I quit ballet. But when I was out, for the surgery for like 2 weeks, I was so happy. Like, I just remember being like, oh my God, I don't have to dance, or like, I don't have to go to class. Like, all that pressure was taken off my back for 2 weeks. And I just remember being so relieved. And that's when it kind of clicked in my head where I was like, wait, why the hell am I doing this if I hate it that much that I'd rather be bedridden than be doing it? And then I remember I sent my coach, sent him an email and was just like, I can't do this anymore. This is just not something that I'm able to continue. Like, I'm so sorry. I think the decision felt kind of earth-shattering, but also relieving. And there was this crazy chunk of time between quitting dance and getting into college that I think was like my biggest and most early remembrance of failure. And it was a good like maybe 8 months of just like nothingness and just that feeling of like disappointment about kind of quitting, but also feeling like I wasn't really going to be good enough anyway, maybe. Just a lot of self-doubt. And it just like the feeling of nothingness was all I can really remember. It just felt like I wasn't really going anywhere. Like, I really wasn't even expecting that I would ever go to college. I really thought that dance was just going to be it. And like the competitive dance circuit, college isn't even a part of that conversation. You know, you go straight into it because your prime years are your early 20s. So there wouldn't be a reason for you to want to skip out on that and be studying something else or be training even. Like, you want to be professionally moving forward. That kind of made me question a lot of like aspects of who I was and what I was doing.
What happened next?
I applied to college right after I quit. So, and I was being homeschooled at the time because I was really working and dancing for 12 hours a day where I was just doing online school, but like didn't really have anywhere to put my creative energy towards. And that's always been my like saving grace, was that I did have something, and then losing that felt like kind of losing a huge part of myself. And because college just seemed like the natural progression, I applied to Sarah Lawrence, and it was really close to where I was from. So it kind of just made sense to me. And I just looked at a course. I was looking through the art courses and I saw basic black and white photography. And I just chose that because it seemed like something that I could maybe transfer some of like my understanding of movement in the body into. And I even had, I think a big part of my process was, or just like the self-doubting of that whole process of switching into something else, was really just that people really try to label each other and label ourselves into one specific direction. And then once we get into something else, it's almost like not only are we telling ourselves that we have no ability and have no passion towards that just because we hadn't done it before.
So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about failure, because that's sort of embedded in your story and really embedded in the story of anyone that does anything successful. As I have researched shame, I think that it's sort of rooted in this idea that we're so deeply fearful of being perceived as anything less than perfect, which is why I think so many people are afraid to fail. But I want to know from you, why do you think failure is so important?
It's almost really hard to answer because I currently feel like I'm failing so much in my daily life and just as a creative and as an artist, which is even hard to say because you want to stay really, really positive about what you're doing, because if not, who else is going to feel positive about what you're doing?
I think people might look at your Instagram and think that you're so successful and be shocked that you feel like you're failing.
There's just so much that isn't seen on social media, and it really is such a rouge. And I think the people that do really, really well on social media are the ones that are able to entertain the idea that life is kind of making people believe what you want them to. And I think that is kind of why I love what I do, is because like, although behind the scenes, there might be all these cracks and mishaps and just waves, when you kind of put things down on paper within your work and you put an image out, one image after the next, you're able to create this kind of beautiful manifestation of your dreams. and you can't really see all the other stuff that's happening behind the scenes that's really hard. And, you know, the loneliness and kind of people telling you that maybe you're not good enough, or maybe you need to figure out different aspects of your career that aren't happening at the right time. There's just so much going on that it just feels good to have something out there that looks really like a real manifestation of what you're interested in.
And I think this idea is so important for people to hear about, and why I believe unshaming failure is so important, because as you are succeeding somewhere in life, you are inevitably failing in another area.
I think going back to social media, because I think that is such a massive part of the entertainment industry and the industry I work in, but also just the way we're living right now, especially due to the pandemic, we're spending more and more time on our phones and kind of staring at other people's narratives within their own life that they're posting. It's so easy to feel a certain way about your life, and feeling that you haven't succeeded, even when you have, maybe in certain aspects. Everything that really becomes enlarged is what you're seeing that you don't have. So like for me, I would go on social media and maybe remember that I broke up with my ex 6 months ago, and that was right before the pandemic. And, you know, on New Year's Eve, I'm seeing everyone with their significant other and their partners, and they're so happy. And I can't help but just feel like I failed. And I think that goes vice versa, though. I could see people looking at maybe my work and wanting that for themselves. So I think that social media almost heightens our ability to see our own failures within our lives. And maybe they aren't failures. Maybe we're all kind of on the process to figuring out how to succeed in different aspects of our lives, and they don't all come at the same time. But it is really easy to look at people's own portrayal of their lives on Instagram or on TikTok and just be like, what am I doing that has made me not succeed in that way that they are?
Which ties in nicely to my next question about defining success. What do you think people should be thinking about this year, especially with New Year's resolutions? And honestly, people feel some type of way about New Year's resolutions, but I'm kind of a dork. So I think it's a nice time for people to recenter themselves, think about where they failed, where they succeeded last year, and use that information to inform what they want to do this year. What should people be thinking about as they are crafting their definitions of success this year?
I think New Year's resolutions are really a hard thing, because it seems so general, right? It's like, I want to lose weight, or I want a relationship. The more I say general, big picture stuff, the less I feel like I'm able to create within that. Like, I just feel so trapped by these like massive ideas. I always try to go for like super specific dreams and trying to reach that.
Let's talk about the difference between quitting and failure, because so often I think people really intertwine those two words together and even stigmatize the idea of quitting. But when do you know when it's time to move on from something, or when it's time to persevere? Is quitting really a bad thing when something really isn't giving us what we need time and time and time again after trying? When do we know when it's time to quit? At the same time, you know, we always hear never give up.
I was raised on a no quit mentality, and there was really no kind of justification for quitting for me. Like, I think I had to really hit rock bottom before I felt comfortable quitting within dance. I think that the best way to realize that it might be time to quit is if you erase everyone else's opinions about your abilities within, you know, what you're doing, and just kind of focus on how it makes you feel rather than how other people perceive you to be within that. Like, people will always tell you that you're like really good at something, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that you like it. And I think if you listen too much to what other people are saying, you will have a lot of trouble quitting or not quitting just in general. Because so many people in my life, even currently, but definitely in the past 4 years, have told me that I would never have a career as a photographer, that my work made no sense to them, that it would take them years to retrain me. Trying to listen to yourself is the most important thing, because the more you listen to other people, the more you're going to start just being really, really self-deprecating about what you even want to do.
That ties in super nicely to feedback. I think that feedback is a super important part of reassessing where you are when it comes to goals and objectives that you're trying to achieve. And as someone who is really out there on social media, I feel like your version of feedback is probably so intense because everyone sort of thinks they have a free-for-all to provide you with feedback. And I'm wondering, for folks who are listening, how do you differentiate the good criticism from the bad criticism? And I feel like there are multiple forms of bad criticism. There's obviously the blatant trolling, but then there's also the bad criticism that comes in the form of people who have different priorities from you and misaligned priorities from you, giving you feedback that align with their priorities. And there's also just irrelevant feedback. So what mechanisms, what frameworks do you have in place in order to trust certain feedback and get rid of the rest?
I think something that I learned within school was that you can only listen to a certain extent. I remember it was my second year of college. This was sophomore year. And I was in this amazing class with Katie Murray, who's this incredible color photographer. And she really taught me the art of storytelling within imagery, and that, you know, taking pictures can have such a narrative in them and that you can tell a story with a still image. And I think that's something that I didn't really understand at first. So taking your class brought me a lot of confidence and joy. But I remember wanting to move up and go from intermediate photography, which was her class, into advanced. And the photographer that was teaching advanced was, you know, kind of like this hotshot photographer from the 70s. He kind of invented, or was within the group of photographers that brought color photography into the forefront, because before it was all black and white. And so I was really excited to show him my portfolio, because I spent literally the whole year in the dark room printing, and I just felt really confident. Like, Katie really brought me confidence, and I love when a professor can really bring joy into your work and make you feel good about what you're making. And I remember bringing him my work, and it was all printed on 16 by 20 darkroom prints, which is really hard to do, especially for someone that just kind of started. And so I went in and showed him my work, and he literally looked at me and was like, "What is this? This is not interesting at all. Like, there's nothing I can work with here." And I was like shocked. And he was like, "I don't know if like you should be in my class. Like, it would take me a year to teach you how to photograph. And this is only a semester class. And like, I don't know if you're there yet." And I was just like, whoa. Like, that was the first time as a photographer that I had heard that. And I felt that way as a dancer before, but not as a photographer. And I felt like I was leaving dance and I was entering this more like loving field, or I was hoping that I was, and to hear that from someone that I was excited to share my work with just felt so gut-wrenching, and it took me so long to kind of get over that. Yeah, that feedback was so harsh and like unnecessary and wasn't constructive at all. It literally was someone telling me straight to my face that I wasn't making anything that was of any worth. So everything that I love about photography is not worth anything, and like, I need to start over. That was my first time experiencing failure as a photographer. It's so easy to get trapped in what other people think about your work and about you, and or you as really anything, but the most important person to listen to is always going to be yourself. I've had so many people, you know, tell me I can or can't do something. And I think the types of people that tell you what you can and can't do are really just people that are super insecure and are damaged. And I would never encourage someone to listen to someone that will tell you what you can or can't do, period. Because either way, it's just something that it's not their place, and they have no real idea of what you have. Like, no one's going to be able to see inside your brain and pick apart your abilities like you can. So I just try and look at it like that. Like, if it's something specific, like, "Oh, I want to see more of this," or "I really want you to take charge of this color palette that you've been working with," or "This idea that you have is really, really interesting. Like, how can we take that further? That to me is constructive, but the more general criticisms like, oh, it's going to take you a while to get to the place that you need to be. Like, you, I don't know if you have it. Maybe you should try something different. Like, those types of people must be so damaged, because as a person myself, as a creative, I cannot even imagine telling someone that they can't do something. No matter what my personal opinion of their work is, it is not ever my place to destroy or belittle someone else's dream. And I think that is something you have to continue to tell yourself, because no matter what stage of your career you're at, you're always going to have kind of people telling you that you can or can't do something. And you have to be strong enough to tell yourself, you know what, like, that's their thought. I'm going to continue to do this. And I think the people that are able to continue to tell themselves to move forward, although they might be hearing people telling them what they should and shouldn't do, are the ones that kind of make it the furthest, and make it the furthest the fastest.
Have you heard of the growth mindset before?
No.
So basically, I teach this writing class on the weekend to low-income high school students. One thing that I learned when giving feedback is to use the growth mindset. Something that is always a red flag is when people give you feedback that surrounds something that you can never change. Like,
yes,
you're so bad at that, or even on the opposite side, you're so talented or you're so smart.
Right. It doesn't help.
Exactly. We always kind of learned give feedback based off of something that people can grow towards. So I really can tell that you work super hard on that, or you really made an effort to think about that in a strategic way.
And I do want to like interrupt that and just say, you know, there are times, and even recently I've had people tell me that I'm not ready to do something, or, you know, I need to get this or that together before I'm ready to do this. Right. And I've spent 2 weeks straight upset about hearing that still. And that's something that I still work on. Like, it's not something that I've overcome at all. I still, when I hear someone tell me that I can't do something, there's still that kind of gut reaction that takes me back to the first time that I was in high school and I had a dance teacher tell me that I would only really make it to be in the core of a ballet because of how I looked and how I maybe fit the aesthetic of this company, but I didn't really have the technique or talent to make it past that. Like, there are still moments when people tell me I can or can't do something that trigger me and send me down that dark hole. I think it's just like, you just have to be patient with yourself and allow yourself to grieve those moments. And also just like, I try and tell myself that no matter what, when I get older and when I'm at a place in my career where I feel like I'm ready to maybe give someone else feedback, that I would never, ever feel comfortable telling them that they're not ready or that they won't be able to do this, because I just always want to remember and be humbled by my experiences in the past.
That is so true. That is so true. Oh my God. I struggle with the same shit. And even in my adulthood, as I'm growing out of that and creating different processes in my life to unlearn all of that, it really is an ongoing struggle. It's the reason I decided to name the show Unshaming, because it really is an ongoing thing. I don't think we're ever done with the work and the practice that goes into unlearning some of those early mindsets that we take with us. What was the first photo that you took where you felt like, this is what I need to be doing? This is where my energy comes from. What was that moment like for you?
It took me a really long time to kind of garner enough confidence to start talking about the things that I wanted to talk about within my work. And I was just really afraid to talk about like my queerness. And there wasn't even a reason why I was scared to do it. I think it was just so hard to get critiqued in class. My big realization towards what I wanted to do came from not being afraid to like talk about myself within my work.
Describe your favorite image that you've ever captured.
An image that I think I'm really proud of was one that I took of Brandon Flynn like maybe 4 years ago. And this was the beginning of my career and like what I am doing now. And he was starring on 13 Reasons Why at the time. And we put on this like pink puffy jacket, and he had a cigarette in his hand and he had like two different colored eye makeup shades on each eye. And he just was like in the middle of Bushwick with a cigarette, like just in the street smoking. And I just snapped that. And it wasn't really even something that was planned, but I just really liked that image because it just like encapsulated the group of people that I wanted to be surrounded by at the time, but also just like the braveness of it, because it was really the beginning of that like queer revolution, I think, within our generation of people just being like, I can wear whatever I want and put on whatever color eye makeup I want and be masculine and feminine at the same time. And it doesn't really matter.
So how can failure bring us closer to who we actually are?
I think learning from failure is like a key part of self growth, I think. And just, I think that if failure can maybe bring us closer to each other in a way and realize that we all fail and that we're not perfect and that failure is really a part of growing and just a part of living every day. And I think failure can bring us more empathy, which is really important, especially right now. I feel like social media has created a lack of empathy in a lot of ways because we become so obsessed with our image and just far away from who we truly are as people, and being able to see each other for who they truly are instead of just seeing them for a picture or a short video.
And how are you defining success this year?
It's so hard because I really want, for me, like this year, I really want to feel happier just with being inside a lot, spending a lot of time alone, or maybe spending some time working on sets and stuff and maybe feeling a little bit more back to myself, but then going back into this weird cave that we call our homes right now and just feeling trapped within that. So I just really want happiness and like more relationships.
Well, let me ask you this. What is your dream?
I just want to get married and have kids. It's kind of ironic because it's very far from, you know, my reality right now. As I just feel like I put so much attention into my career, but I think like my major goal would be just to like have kids and be married. I don't know if that's gonna happen anytime soon. So,
well, I'm wishing you the best. Thank you so much, Jasper.
Thank you.
I'm Jorgen Salvis, and you've been listening to Unshaming. For more information about anyone featured on the show, follow us on Instagram at Unshaming or visit unshamingpodcast.com. If you liked this episode, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Special thanks to Mirzi for generously providing us with her original music. You can find her wherever you stream. If you have questions or want to tell us what you're unshaming, DM us on Instagram or email us at unshamingpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.